Let's see, 14, we're now at the end of this really wonderful book. This amazing story of this lovely man, Hosea, who marries a prostitute, Gomer, reflecting the love of God for Israel. And she is totally wayward. She goes around having relationships with all kind of other men, and she's sexually addicted to the point that she even pays men to sleep with her. And this is Israel in their relationship with God. And so you come to the end, and Hosea, so far in the book at various times, has had sort of fantasies about getting it all right again with Gomer. He's had these fantasies about remarrying her, about starting afresh, about making a new wedding. In Hosea 2, he has this fantasy about an open-air wedding ceremony where all of creation, the natural creation, the animals and everything, join in the joy of him saying, "I do," to her with a voice that echoes between earth and heaven, and her truly loving him. But that didn't happen. And so now we get the impression that time has gone on. And now she is older. She who has had children by all sorts of men and probably had abortions and so forth. This worn-out woman is described in Hosea 9:14 as having dry breasts and a miscarrying womb, that was to be her curse from God. And yet now, verse 8, from me you will acquire fruit. This is repeating another image that there has been, that God saw Israel as a beautiful, fruitful, verdant fig tree and vine with grapes on it, and yet she is dried up by him. And yet now from me you will acquire fruit. This was Hosea's fantasy about this worn-out, faithless woman who has now come to the end of her life. He still loved her, and this is and was the love of God for Israel. This was the hope of God for Israel. The hope of Israel was, in that sense, God's desperate hope that Israel would respond to his love even at this late stage. And the tragedy of the way Hosea ends is that we are left with the question, well, did it work? Did Gomer go back to him? Well, I mean, she was technically with him, but I mean, did it all work? Did she respond? And I'm afraid she didn't. And it's the same with God and Israel. And so God continues in his relationship with people, but through us, and we are to be his faithful woman, to overcome and not to behave as Israel did. So then there are apparent contradictions in the feelings of Hosea for Gomer. He wants to slay her, to kill her. Well, I mean, he could have done that because she was guilty of adultery, prostitution, and so forth, all of which carried the death penalty. And yet he forgives her. He does not judge her according to the law, just as God did not want to do with Israel. So he says in verse 4, "I will love them freely." But in chapter 9, verse 15, "I will love them no more." So we have a picture here into the conflicted feelings that God had for Israel that were reflected in his servant Hosea, in his feelings towards Gomer. It is quite normal that with a love like Hosea had for Gomer, when that love was abused, he was going to feel angry. He was going to hate her. And in Hebrew, the words for love and hatred are very similar, because really anger, wrath, etc. in this context is related to the amount of love that is felt for the beloved who has abused that. And so it was between God and Israel. And this is why earlier in Hosea, God says, "How shall I give you up, Ephraim? My repentings, my changes of mind are kindled together within me." And yet, you don't see that. God is the same today as he was then. You don't see directly any evidence for that. But it's the same with Joseph. When his brothers came before him, he had to turn away from them and weep. And yet he had this mask on, perhaps literally, but certainly a mask in a symbolic sense, that concealed his true feelings. And this is the thing with the apparent silence of God, that you've got to see beyond that. And you've got a cameo of it in Ezekiel 24, when Ezekiel loves his wife. She was the desire of his eyes, we are told, and she dies. And God says to Ezekiel, don't mourn. Internalize your grief. Just act like nothing happened. And everyone was like, wow, what does this mean? Why don't you weep? Why don't you just go through the grieving process, Ezekiel? And he didn't, because he was showing them, this is how God will feel when the temple, which is the desire of your eyes, is taken away from you and is ransacked by the Babylonians by his command. He will hide his feelings. You will not see, but I'm showing you, as Ezekiel was saying in the acted parable, that actually he is internalizing his grief. And so it is when people turn away from God, when they turn away from the things of his truth and the things of his son. You might think that, well, just like they have kind of forgotten God, so he's forgotten them. And well, he takes it all in his stride, because that is his repeated experience with people, that people say they love him and then they do for a bit and then they turn away. But don't underestimate the feelings of God. The apparent silence of God is a major theme in the Bible. And it is true that God has feelings, but he is not revealing them. Just as Ezekiel was not to reveal his feelings, just as Joseph didn't initially reveal his feelings, although it says that his bowels, the AV says, his bowels yearned for his brother Benjamin. His heart was bursting. And so God likewise has a bursting heart. And he says in verse 4, I will heal their waywardness. It was as if somehow Hosea wanted to force this thing through with Gomer. And God also desperately wanted by all means to heal their waywardness. But of course he will not force people against their will to have a heart for him, because otherwise man would then be a puppet on a string. What he wants is knowledge of him, relationship with him, not knowing about him, but relationship with him. This is what he wants, and that is what he still wants. So you see in this unique little book the unusual, amazing love of God, the passion of that love, love beyond reason. And of course, the conclusion of the book really is, whoever is wise will understand this. Whoever is wise will see through the apparent silence of God, and we'll see that there is a passionate love for you and me out there in this God, the only God, who loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us, that he commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And faced with that love, the wise will perceive it and will respond.